And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vacansade, written by Paul Reiner. Vacansade is brought to you by the makers of pure, all-vegetable Crisco. Say, listen, ladies, when you can't get the cut of meat you're shopping for, take another look at those low-point meats like stewing rice. Golly, you'd be surprised how easily Crisco can whip them into tempting dishes. Dishes that are downright appetizing and every bit digestible. You know, that's Crisco's long suit, making wartime meals good to eat and easy to digest. You take a dish like barbecued braised lamb, just ordinary stewing lamb, but, oh, it won't taste ordinary when you flour and brown it in piping hot Crisco and then simmer in barbecue sauce. Oh, lady, you talk about swell eating. Boy, that's it. And digestible? Say, Crisco means that. And then there's lamb and carrot pie, you know, with a flaky, tender Crisco crust. Crisco to make it taste right, set light. Or what about a dish like cubes of eggplant and lamb sautéed in Crisco with a little onion? Sound good? Well, now, hold on. To that, you add Crisco-browned rice, cover with tomatoes, and bake in a casserole. Oh, now, that's a tasty treat. And look, forget your qualms about frying, won't you? Remember, Crisco-fried foods turn out both appetizing and digestible, even for the youngsters. Yep, with Crisco for cooking, these two things you can be sure of. Appetizing goodness, digestible goodness. You see, Crisco's pure and all vegetable, and it's self-digestible. 9 out of 10 doctors agree with that. And quality? Well, you can't buy a finer shortening for all your cooking. So for meals that are really swell eating, really digestible, you better try Crisco. And now, back to Vacansade. Well, sir, it's early afternoon as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up on the next block, we find Mrs. Victor Gook at the telephone, conversing with her close friend and confidant, Mrs. Frederick Stembacher. Since Mrs. Gook is wearing her best hat and one of her nicest dresses, we surmise she's on the point of leaving for a downtown shopping expedition. She's saying briskly,
"Well, I told Miss Holloway in half an hour. Does that suit you?" "No, I said in Dr. Keevey's waiting room." "Uh-huh, so if anybody is late or early, they won't have to stand out on the street. See, I have to drop past Dr. Keevey's office anyway to pay a little bill, and the idea hit me, why not ask you two ladies?" "Yes. Sure. No, I don't imagine Dr. Keevey will call the police, everybody and their brother using his office for a meeting place." "Well, peachy dandy then, lady. Dennis' office in half an hour. Of course, I'll probably be the one that's late. I've got a button to sew on. I'll hurry along, though. But if you and Miss Holloway get there first, don't gossip about me." "Hi. Russell just walked in." "All righty de whitey then, Ruthie de poothy. You Betty de Weddy. Goodbye."
"Been talking over the telephone, I think?"
"Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
I just stuck my head in long enough to grab my football helmet. Oyster Cracker, Raymond Phil.
What's this, another teacher's meeting?"
"No. Our English teacher, Miss..."
"It's not even 2 o'clock yet."
"That's right. Our English teacher..."
"Oh, golly, you kids don't average 10 minutes a week in school anymore. Teacher's meeting's by the bushel."
"This isn't a teacher's meeting. Our English teacher, Miss..."
"I gotta sew a button on and then run, Willie. I'm meeting Miss Stembottom and Miss Holloway downtown in half an hour. It's a monster of a wash rag sale on at Jamilton's now. What's that? A letter from Aunt Beth?"
"Yeah. I just now took it out of the mailbox. The mailman was early today. You don't generally get along this far."
"Open it and read it."
"Well, gee, Mom, I'm afraid that won't be possible."
"You're afraid what won't be possible?"
"Well, see, I just stuck my noodle in the house..."
"Open Aunt Bess's letter and read it. I can't take the time. I'm in a hurry."
"Well, does it have to be read this minute?"
"Well, now, isn't that a fine question for a boy to ask his mother?"
"No, but when you come home, you can..."
"I'll make my plans, thank you, mister."
"No, but I'm trying to explain. I just stuck my head in the house long enough to grab my football helmet and run."
"Oh, ish, football helmet. Why ain't you in school?"
"Simply because..."
"Teachers' meetings, teachers' meetings, teachers' meetings. Boy, it's sure different from when I was little. When we went to school, we went for the day."
"I told you there wasn't any teachers' meetings."
"I'd advise you to watch your tone of voice, Mr. Mann. Remember who you're talking to."
"No, but a human being does their level best."
"Why isn't a human being opening Aunt Bess's letter and reading it?"
"Oyster Cracker and Raymond Thurl."
"Love cinnamon and rock candy."
"Oyster Cracker and Raymond Thurl."
"Oh, ish, Dr. Cleats, don't always give a person an argument. You can spare 6 seconds from your baseball gridiron. I'm in a hurry myself. Look at me, sewing buttons on here like a house afire."
"Oyster Cracker and Raymond Thurl."
Talkity-talkity-clickity-clack. Conversation corrected my poor mother's back.
"No, but will you answer me one question?"
"Bet you won't so well."
"Why does Aunt Bess's letter have to be read right this minute? If both of us are in a heck of a big hurry, why do we have to take the time..."
"I'll answer you your question, Mr. Hoosh. I'm meeting Miss Stembottom and Miss Holloway downtown in half an hour. Miss Holloway was a Carberry girl. Chances are Aunt Bess has got some lovely little Carberry gossips in her letter. She generally does have a few lovely little Carberry gossips. It'd be nice to pass along to Miss Holloway. See, Stu?
Hmm?
Isn't that a satisfactory answer to your question?
Yeah, but oyster crackers with Raymond so.
What about them, for goodness sakes?
They're out in the alley on top of the garbage box.
Just exactly the place for them.
Well, they're waiting for me.
It's a bright, sunny day. The warm sunshine will do them good.
I wish I'd never even come home. I wish
I... Hey, I'm going to lose my patience directly. You open up that letter and read.
I'll bet $40...
Idea.
No,
you got
but...
the stationery out of the envelope?
Yeah.
Read.
Dear sister in law, thought I would...
Gee, bushels of teachers' meetings. It makes kids act the way they do.
Dear sister in law, thought I would...
Much freedom, they get. When I went to school, we stayed all day.
There's no teacher's meeting. I said 9 times there's no teacher's meeting.
What did I say about that tone of voice?
Dear sister in law,
what's going on this afternoon if there's no teacher's meeting?
Our English teacher, Miss Button, was asked to deliver a speech about the poet Tennyson before the Senior Mothers Club, and our class is excused.
All right, we'll read.
Dear sister in law, thought I'd write and see how you were feeling. We are fine.
All right.
Huh?
None of that, please. Read slow.
Dear sister in law.
Gotta go get the scissors and snip this thread. Come along.
What?
Come along with me to the dining room. I have to snip the thread off of this button.
You mean trail along after you and me?
Yes, that's what I mean. Come on.
I can't believe any human being would ask me to follow along after him and ask me read aloud.
Yeah, read aloud. Come on along and read aloud.
Dear sister in law, thought I would write and see how you are feeling. We are finding out.
What's this now?
Oh, boy, my ankle.
Bumped into the chair?
Yes.
Imagine you won't die.
What do you expect when a guy's holding a letter up in front of his face and walking right along?
Wouldn't be surprised if you bumped into that chair on purpose.
What a terrible accusation.
Yeah, terrible, awful accusation. Well, here we are in the living room. Here's my scissors. I have to leave in a minute. Will you please read?
Oyster cracker and name.
Read.
Dear sister in law.
I skipped that opening part. You've read it 9 million times.
Ours, Vic and Russell. I suppose Vic is having high old times down in his office. Russell must be all settled grand in school now. Does he like his teacher? You see his playing another...
Well, as long as I'm right here and got needle and thread and trash, might as well make my other button good and tight. It's about to fall off. And things cost almost a nickel apiece.
Hmm.
Well, take me but a few minutes to walk to the Unity building where Dr. Keezy's office is. Yeah, I will make this other button tighter.
Oyster cracker and Raymond Phil.
Yes, I know. Unity is learning what?
Yuthi is learning another high piano selection where she slides her fingernail down the white keys and stomps on the loud pedal with both feet. Her teacher, Miss Hendricks, seems to specialize in that kind. Walter said he wondered if he were raising our child to be a musician or an acrobat. Uh-huh.
Well, little joke. Walter don't generally indulge much in little jokes.
Say, mate, did you remember that Mr. Crow that lived over near Edith Blonde? Well, he passed away Sunday. The pole fell.
All right, mister. Take it easy now. You're not going to a fire. Just go over that part again, please.
Well, they passed away
since... Who is this? Start further up.
Say, mate, did you remember that Mr. Crow that lived over near Edith Barnes? Well, he passed away Sunday.
That's the kind of little Carberry gossip that'll be nice to pass along to Miss Holloway.
Well, he passed away Sunday.
Miss Holloway was born and raised in Carberry.
Well, he passed away Sunday.
Well, she's a good deal younger than Aunt Bess.
Well, he passed away Sunday.
Go ahead. Yes, I remember Mr. Crow. He looked so poorly. No voice to speak of. Hello, he'd say, so feeble and whiny.
Well, he passed away Sunday.
Go ahead.
Well, he passed away Sunday.
Poor old fellow, he was close to 100 years old, they say.
Oh,
well, I took the words right out of Aunt Bess's mouth.
His daughter Agnes must be close to 70.
Hmm.
I said to Walter, I said, goodness, if I live to be as old as Mr. Crowell, I hope they'll take
his... Telephone's ringing.
Okay, well, so long. I'll see you later on the Saturday.
Come on.
Huh?
Come on and keep reading.
You don't mean it.
Oh, ish, Russell. Quit being the actor on the stage. Read.
There's talk that Grace McCuntley will marry that Mr.
You skip him?
No.
Well, don't.
There's talk that Grace McCuntley will marry that Mr. Ouch!
You did run into that chair that time on purpose.
What kind of a half-wit would deliberately almost kill herself?
All right.
Only an insane numbskull would pull off a stunt like that.
All right.
There's talk that Grace McCuntley will marry that Mr.
Who this can be. Hope it's not Beulah Erickson or somebody wanting to gossip half an hour.
Oyster cracker, Raymond.
Keep on reading. Yes.
You're going to answer the telephone and you ask me to keep on reading while you talk?
That's it. Mercy.
I can't believe you mean it.
Read.
There's talk that Grace McCuntley will marry that Mr. Hooker that is...
Hello.
...at the new 10-cent store. He's an old...
Why, Mrs. Stangerson, hello.
No chicken herself.
I never recognize the voice.
Miss Walter says he's Betsy Ford.
Say, you're quite the stranger.
I'm making that intimate. For that.
Oh,
part.
I see.
Isn't that scandalous?
Well, I thought you were away.
At the dry goods store.
How's Mabel?
You just as soon get it off the shelf.
Uh-huh. So and the baby?
You don't see us getting
old.
Oh,
how
so
sweet.
She wants fancy dyed on a nightgown.
Well, isn't that nice?
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. You know, I just heard a young woman saying...
Oh, life is dull. I wish this war were over.
Well, now look, why not stop wishing and do something about it?
What do you mean, do something?
Join the Women's Army Corps. They need you.
The WACs? Well, what do I know about...
Wait a minute. Now, look, you don't have to know any special job. The WACs train you. You're over 19, aren't you?
I'm 25.
Well, the age limit's 20 to 50. And the WACs can give you a job that's as important as any man's in the Army. And you'll be freeing a man to fight. You might be an Air Force photographer or a medical technician.
Could I do that?
Well, sure. Now, listen. You'll learn a lot that'll be useful after the war. You've a chance to become an officer. Everyone has. You'll get good pay. Your uniforms are free. And you'll be working alongside our fighting men, helping them win this war.
Gosh, that sounds pretty good.
And it's important. All you women between 20 and 50, the Army needs you. Speed the attack. Join the WAC. Don't forget to listen to Vic and Sade the next time. This is Ed Roberts saying good day for Crisco. It's digestible.
Vic and Sade comes to you from Chicago. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Oh.